We began. This is so funny because we've been a little discombobulated this morning, right? This morning, I welcome all of you to Unity of Whidbey. It's so great to see some new people and all of our regulars and our Zoomers. Good morning, Zoomers. I'm so glad to see you all there this morning. Yes, indeed. Today, we have Steve Mason, one of our faves. And one of our new faves who's coming back again is Josh Pinkton. Some of you know him. Thank you, Josh. And Josh and I discovered we're kind of in the same place this morning, right? Yeah. And we are going to let the presence of God unfold and just come on out. Okay, so without further ado, let me read our inspiration, which, thank you, Lord Jesus, because I wasn't quite sure, and I opened up our daily word, and it's absolutely perfect. Our message today is the practice of the presence of God, and our inspiration today in our daily word is guidance. In the divine presence, I am guided. Divine guidance is not only found in burning bushes or mind-blowing revelations. More often, it arrives as gentle nudges, subtle enough to overlook, ordinary enough to dismiss. Yet those quiet signals are holy too. A craving for sweetness, a need for fresh air, a muscle that tightens or relaxes, all can be taken as cues to care for body and soul. As I become present to the fullness of my humanity, my senses, intuition, inner knowing, I recognize guidance as ever-flowing. It invites a restoration, resting of mind and heart. It is an alert stillness that listens, a receptive openness where clarity emerges and gentle direction unfolds. I trust the quiet impulses that draw me forward, allowing the simplest moments to lead me toward my soul's fulfillment with ease. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Exodus 33:14.
Thank you. So, as was said earlier, I'm Josh, and hey, Aaron. And it's nice to see you all again. All right, I'm going to talk like that. That's a good gesture. All right, let's take a moment. As we were talking about love, let love lead, and presence and guidance. Let's take a moment to close our eyes, to experience that presence and guidance interiorly. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is within. So let's take a moment to experience that within. To not look for it outside, to not wait for something outside to trigger something inside, but to let the inside trigger how we see and perceive what is outside, how we hear what is outside. Maybe pay attention to our breathing. Where is there tension in our breath? Is it shallow? Are we only breathing up in our chest? Are we breathing like that? Or are we breathing with a relaxed stomach, relaxed diaphragm, with full lungs? Are we inviting that breath, that oxygen, into our blood, into our heart? This is the ecosystem. This is the science of God. God created this. Created oxygen that goes into our blood and oxygenates our bodies. It brings God joy to see this continuously happening. It's not boring to God that our breath gets turned into blood, and our blood gets turned into thought and feeling, and our thought and feeling turns into actions. It's not boring, mundane, or stupid to God. It is what God created. And we can get so fascinated about what we'd like to build with what God built that we overlook the kingdom of God right here. Continue to breathe deeply, relax our muscles, relax our minds. Let love lead. We can open our eyes. And that sense of presence is what we're talking about today. It's about relaxing. There's a great quote from Jacob Lieberman. I don't know if you know. I know my wife knows Jacob Lieberman because she introduced me. He's a great author. And he's an optometrist. And he writes about what light is. But he writes about it in this really amazing, transcendent way of understanding that light is not just something that's happening. It's a revelation. And that our eyes are drawn to light, that we're actually guided by light. And so he has this wonderful quote, "Despite popular belief, attaining presence is not about trying to be thinking or trying to be here now." So attaining presence is not about thinking or trying to be here now. Rather, it is a naturally occurring state that arises when our eyes and mind, triggered by light, focus on the same place at the same time. I'll read it again. Despite popular belief, attaining presence is not about thinking or trying to be here now. Rather, it is a naturally occurring state that arises when our eyes and mind, triggered by light, focus on the same place at the same time. There's so many other places where our minds might wander, might fascinate on, might escape to. But the gift is right here. And we say in our house, and what I believe is that the present moment is the language of God. And that's why it's so important in every religion to be present, is because the present moment is the language of God. We can look to the past and say, see, 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 but then we're in the past. And it's about being in the present moment because this is where God is speaking. And it's the only language, synchronicity. I know, man, that word, I love the word synchronicity. And I had no idea how many other people loved it until I moved to Whidbey. this is the cult of synchronicity on Whidbey in a good way, the spirituality of synchronicity. But this understanding that only God can speak in synchronicity. We can read the language, but we can't speak in the way. The other day I was on a walk, I was walking, and I had this moment of kind of revelation, and it was being in the moment, thinking about some things and relaxing into it. And I said something along the lines of my mind. I was thinking, and I was just like, wow, what a great revelation to wake up to. And right as I did, in the distance, this rooster went off. And I just thought, what a beautiful thing that I could just, you know, be like, I could ignore. But here in the synchronicity of the moment, I'm thinking about waking up in the moment, and the rooster's in the distance. It's like, yeah, wake up. I love the synchronicities. I want to take a moment, too, and Tali, you'll know this. I want to practice embodiment. So if we could, just in your chair, just wiggle a little bit. Feel your presence from your spine up, releasing any tension that you might feel along your spine. So you can wiggle a little bit. I like to curve my back, curve it like this, and then go side, go other side, whatever feels good to you though. If there's tension in your spine, just to release it, relax it, feel it move all the way up to your neck. And then there's this practice of Yogananda's to, here, I'll put this here, but it's to massage your medulla oblongata. So your medulla oblongata, right here. Every nerve in our entire body comes out from there. It's what Yogananda calls the mouth of God. Everything comes out from right there. So if we're tense right here, we might be introducing more tension into the rest of our bodies. So if we can, just relax. Maybe massage it a little bit. You can massage it three times in one direction and then three times in the other direction. And then even lower your head and just massage that area. Sometimes it feels like I've got guitar strings back here. I can pluck them. But if you massage and get back the relaxation that's there, it helps the rest of the whole body, and it also helps with the flow of attention. So just feeling that relaxation, I think, is really important. And is anybody familiar with the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence? Really? Oh, there's one person. Thank you, Tad. Oh, my God. I'm so happy. It's an incredible book. It's about this big. And it's letters that were written to this a monk. I'm not sure what order he might have been in. But it was written to him because he had fallen in love with God and gotten a sense of God's presence in such a way that this person was saying, help me. I want to know this presence of God that you interact with. So he writes him and he says, I'll only do this with you if you promise not to make a book out of it. I think it was a few hundred years later where they turned it into a book, but they took these letters letters about him and then letters that he wrote, and they turned it into a brief little book. And the letters are so beautiful, very simple. And it was given to me when I was 17 years old, around there. And it completely changed the trajectory of my life and understanding of spirituality and religion and theology. Because theology, I grew up in the church. I was working at a church when I was given this book. And theology was very important. I remember I would sit with my friends and we would go over all of these theological questions. And I felt like they were really important. And we went out. I went one day with my dad, who was the pastor of our church, and we were at a gym working out, and we were doing sit-ups, and I started asking my dad these deep theological questions, really important to me, like the fact that Jesus stood up for Stephen, and it's awful. What's this mean? Do you get all these ideas that were just big to us? And I asked my dad this, thinking this will make my these are exciting ideas and thoughts. And my dad is doing sit-ups, and he finally stops, and he goes, I got to be honest with you. These questions completely bore me. And I was shocked. I was, how can you be bored by these questions? These are really important questions. And his response was, the only question that I'm concerned with these days is, why don't I love people as much as God loves people today? And that was it. And I really, when he said that, I was really confused by it. And I was maybe a little frustrated and irritated because I liked how these questions made me feel about me. Because I got to feel like I was getting some education. I was getting enlightened. I was getting maybe some kind of sense of control of what's happening. And it wasn't about that. So this reminder of coming back to it, the presence of love. So anyway, coming back to the practice of presence of God, here are some quotes from it. This book is very simple, so I'm just going to read a few simple lines. This is one of my favorite quotes from it. We need neither art nor science to approach God, but only a heart resolutely determined to surrender itself to Him alone, for His sake, not ours. The best method of going to God is that of simply doing our everyday work without any view of pleasing people. Rather, as far as we are capable, we should do even our daily tasks purely for the love of God. God does not regard the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. When living in this sense of God's presence, the soul is insensible in love. I'll read the again. Is this going out? It might be cutting out a little bit. I don't know if the battery's low. God does not regard the greatness of the work, but the love with which it is performed. When living in this sense of God's presence, the soul is insensible to everything but divine love. He goes on to say in other passages, we need only to recognize that God is intimately present with us. We can therefore address him in every moment. And then Brother Lawrence explained how his prayers were nothing else but a sense of the presence of God. To arrive at the total surrender that God requires, we should watch attentively over all the emotions which affect us. In things both spiritual and fleshly, God gives light concerning these emotions to those who truly desire to serve him. And when we come to love him, we shall then also think of him often, for our hearts will be with our treasure. Brother Lawrence realized that many people do not advance in surrendered Christian life because they stick to penances and particular spiritual exercises. At the same time, they neglect the love of God, which is the ultimate goal. And then he has this really wonderful summary. It's just two words, love sweetens. Love sweetens. So when I think of the presence of God and the practice of the presence of God, it's that love sweetens. How often are we bringing our love, our affection to God? Do we wait until the circumstances make it easy? Because then we might be serving circumstances. Or do we instead bring love and inform love into our circumstances? I love this, the kingdom of heaven is within. What the practice of the presence of God has led me to is the simplification of religious and spirituality centered on the light of God's intimate presence. What this does for me, so when I was introduced to this, like I said, I was working at a church. I was given this book, and I think I was given this book because they thought this will be good for me to read, it'll be helpful. And it was, but it wasn't in the way that they thought. It was incredibly disruptive because there was so much about the church stuff where I thought, this isn't lining up at all. And it really brought in this whole, I'm going to keep on going this way. I'm interested in the presence of God. I'm interested in God being right here, right now. If this is true, that God is right here, right now, what else could theology have to tell me? What else could a belief have to tell me? If it's true that God is right here, right now, in this moment, that's the only thing I want to be connected with. Everything else will follow. If I can connect with God in a loving way, if I can be in awareness, and that journey has continued on for a long time through coming through that tradition of like evangelical Christianity, which is lovely in this sense of this emphasis on God is love, God is forgiving. Not only is God as loving and forgiving, but God is also determined. God is also self-sacrificing. God will be present and let you kill God. And God says, that's fine. I'll keep on being here. I can't go away. There's nothing else. And that's the illusion, right? So as I kept on going through this practice of the presence of God in my life, experiencing it then as a teenager through 20s, experiencing the conflicts of church and theology and beliefs and really organizations that are built upon other things. And as I continued to work through that, there's this really beautiful summary that I believe is revealed in Christ, and Yogananda helped me here, that there are only two forces in the universe. And I would always think there's either good or bad, destructive and creative, and there are only two forces, And he calls them awareness and ignorance. Oh, there's only just awareness and ignorance. That's it. There's not good and evil. There's not right and wrong. There's awareness and there's ignorance. And to live in the awareness is to be in light. And that's what it means that God is light, that Christ brings light, that there's this light that enlightens us and it informs. We can see things. And then there's in the darkness of I am my own story. I am this identity. And in this darkness of identifying with myself, with my circumstances, I can get lost and I bump against things. And I find myself trying to put myself in the center of the universe rather than recognizing there's a podium here. There's a lot of other things around me. There's other people. And actually, there's way more to be seen than what I can see with my eyes closed. And what I love about this idea of awareness and ignorance, too, is that both of those things exist. So there is awareness and there is ignorance. Ignorance exists, but only one of them is real. Awareness is real. Ignorance is not real. It just exists, but it goes away in the illumination of light. And this can inform all things. The relaxation, what this continues to feed to me is that awareness is not tense. And I love that line from Jacob Lieberman. Attaining presence is not about thinking or trying to be here now. It is a naturally occurring state that arises when our eyes and mind, triggered by light, focus on the same place at the same time. It's not anxiety. It's not trying. It's not effort. It's not having to make something happen. It's not pressure. It's not tension. Instead, it's relaxation. If we were in here in the dark and we were walking around, these are elements of darkness where we're tense and we're anxious. And there is so much. I don't see it common here. Everybody here, this message is for other people. But here, we all are very relaxed. We're all very calm. We're all very trusting of God. And other times, I know in my life, I've used my relationship with God as a justification of anxiety. And I've heard people growing up like that who used prayer to really channel anxiety and to justify anxiety because it was righteous anxiety. But it's just mind-boggling that Jesus said, be anxious over nothing. Nothing. And Jesus said that it's for joy that he communicates the things that he communicates, not anxiety. And there, Jacob Lieberman, and there's also a woman on the island. I was hoping she would be here today. Her name is Pavitra. And she, okay, thank you. Audio therapy. Has she shared her practice with you? Fantastic. Oh, if you open it up, I would love to be a part of it. She talks about the same thing that Jacob Lieberman talks about vision. So she's talking about hearing. And the way that she talks about hearing is that when there's a traumatic thing that happens in our lives, or like for us, my wife and I have two young boys, and it wasn't too long ago where in the middle of the night we could hear, you know, mama or dada. And I think most of us know, you hear something like that and you go, what is it? And it still happens. We can be having breakfast and we hear mama and we're like, what? Everything, drop everything, what's happening? And that is an auditory response, and our ears are tuned to the frequency of our sons saying mama. I can hear other kids saying mama and I'm like, I don't care. But I do care. I care for them. I love them. But, you know, I trust their mom. But I hear our sons say mama or dada, and our ears are immediately in tune to them, and they're listening for it all the time. We hold attention in our ear, holding for a frequency. And this can happen for everything. That's just a wonderful example of children. But it could happen from anything that we've heard. If we've heard a car crash, if we've heard yelling, and we could be listening for it all the time. And this is the same thing for our vision. As we see things in our lives, as we grew up, we see things in our lives where we're like, I need to watch out for this. So then we start limiting our scope of vision to make sure that we don't fall into the same thing that we fell into again, or that the same thing doesn't happen to us that happened to us before. And so we stop being present, and we start limiting ourselves to an experience that happened in the past. And we start limiting God to something that happened in the past. We start limiting the presence of God. And there's this another great quote of God will only answer prayers if they help us move from ignorance to awareness. So God is not going to answer prayers that make us entrenched more into ignorance. The opposite. Those are the only two things in existence, and God's light. So he brings us into this light of awareness. How much time do we have? So organic here. All right. Well, everybody take your shoes off. Let's relax. Kick back. I'm going to be here all day. No. These other quotes of seek God through omnipresence. This to me is the at the core of the Christian message. That is the only the I am. There is only that. There is the one I am. And so often that so many of us can know that. We can know there's only one I am. We can know that there is a God. Or we can know that God is consciousness, that God's consciousness is in every one of us. And as our consciousness comes and forms and dissolves, there is still just the one consciousness that exists, and that's the consciousness that informed and expands and then contracts that consciousness back to God's self. So there's only unity, except for the illusion of there being division. And in that division, we can get stuck. And God is so gracious to say, you have all of eternity. What's such a gracious gift to give us all of eternity to come back to this awareness that there's just you. And this idea of me and how limiting it can be, how incredibly limiting on God and limiting on my neighbors, limiting on myself it can be to say, this is who I am, this is what I am, this makes me who I am. It's just not true. It's comforting. It's not true, though. The awareness is in this present moment to seek God in omnipresence. And I love that message of seek God in omnipresence. And this is what I believe Jesus was talking about when Jesus says to love your neighbor as yourself. That is like loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what he says. Love the Lord with all your God, Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then without being asked, Jesus says, let me tell you the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. For that is like loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the more that we can just continue to expand that to include all things, because what else could anything be made out of except for the one thing? And the more that we can expand and treat the tree, treat the air, treat the sunlight, treat the soil, treat Steve, treat the guitar, treat the chair, treat this experience as God's experience and not our own experience, it is liberation. And this is, to me, the beautiful message of Christ, is that all it takes is just seeing it. You don't have to do penance. And I love that it's just taken up. I'll take care of that. I take care of penance. Jesus, I'm speaking on behalf of God. I take care of penance. Just start believing and start acting like a child of God. That's all. You are one. Believe and act like it. Don't worry about the penance. This is such a liberating message to not just have a theology and know I'm okay because of what I've done in my life or whatever it is, but to know that this is who God is. This is a revelation of who God is, not a revelation of who I am, except for in God. It's God's dream. The ego wants to make it my dream. You know, I imagine if you're sleeping, if I'm sleeping and I have a dream, and as I'm about to wake up, someone in my dream is like, it's my dream. I've got something to do. This is about me. I would be like, yeah. And I'd open my eyes and be over with. That's not how God works, but that's how what we're in. We're in God's dream. It's about God. It's not about us. It's not about how powerful I am. It's about how powerful the I am is in us and without us. And this gives us a sense of joy and happiness that transcends understanding, peace, because we stop revolving around circumstances and ego and the sense of me, the sense of how I feel, the sense of my circumstances. Can continue to look at my life and say, well, this happened. This is who I am. This is what I experienced. And instead, looking into an omnipresence, God was on all sides of this perspective. So this whole perspective that I have of what life is or what it meant for me, it's uninformed. It's not complete. It is a perspective, but it's just a point of perspective. And we are in union with the I am perspective. And we can join that. There's the dream work. I believe it was Carl Jung who would talk about if you're in a dream and you're, there was a dream that I had years ago, and it was, I was running a retreat center, but before I did, I had this dream about this retreat center. I grew up going there, and I had this dream that I was walking out of the dining hall, and I was walking down this hill, and there were all these, like, men in black, you know, the suits, and they were all after me, because my ego was at play, and I'm like, this is about me. And I looked around, and so I got scared, and I ran down this hill, and then I jumped off the hill and did this, like, woo, it was amazing, kind of flying, and then, like, running through the forest, and it was this amazing dream. And years later, I started thinking about it from this Carl Jung perspective where he said, you know, every person in your dream is your own projection. So jump into it. What are they thinking? Where is that energy coming from? Because that's your energy. You can say it's them. You can externalize it. That's what you do all the time. But this is, what is it? And when I did that and I got into their minds, it wasn't a possessiveness or a fear or a control. It was a desire. What is it that you have? To be able to do that, and we have this in our own lives, to be able to get out of our own perspective. So let's take a moment. We'll wrap up and close our eyes and go into meditation. And for just a moment to envision ourselves being a tree. What is it like? To grow roots, to never move from your place, to reach up to the sky, to light, to feel wind when it chooses to move the leaves, to feel the life of soil moving through the soil, the life through it and around, to feel people walking by. To never have something like a phone or a newspaper or a television inform you of what reality is. It never happened. You are seeing and experiencing reality for yourself, and it is true. It is real. It is valid. Feel that experience of being that tree. Of knowing God from that perspective. And then now taking that awareness and putting it in another, whether that's somebody who makes it challenging for you to believe, someone who's challenging for you, or someone who's a blessing, who makes the awareness easier. Whatever it is, to just put that awareness in them, to know what it's like to be in life from their perspective. However incomplete you've judged it. And now returning back to ourselves. Our perspective as incomplete, but still valid as it is a gift. And it isn't ours alone. The perspective that you bring is your offering to God. The perspective you bring of your neighbor is an offering to God. The perspective that you bring of yourself is an offering to God. Is it a good offering? That's up to you. The food that we bring in into our bodies is an offering to God. Our time here together is an offering to God. And we can give it to God like we give something to someone, like we send it in the mail. Or we can unpack this gift with God, in the presence of God, in the awareness of God. God, I thank you that you are not only intelligent, you are wise. You are not only conscious, but you are aware. That you are not only present, but you are intertwined. This message of Jesus that your suffering is not yours alone. Your suffering is God's suffering, because God is in each and every one of us and experiences the suffering in life unlike any of us could feel individually. It's what would provoke an intelligent consciousness to part of the experience, to go through the suffering and say, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as yourself. And this will make your joy and my joy complete. And this, again, doesn't happen through anxiety or tension, but it happens through trust, relaxation, and peace. So as we go through this week, just take a moment and envision yourself waking up tomorrow morning. And envision the first words you say being thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Letting those words be enough, or continuing to go on. But to begin in thanksgiving. To not take little things for granted, like air, food, water, friendship, sunlight, sleep. To not take these things for granted. Because as humble as they are, God, your humility far exceeds all of them. You are so easy to ignore. You're okay with it. May we be as present to you as you are to us. May we be as present to you in ourselves, as present to you in each other, as present to you in all things. The stars, the moon, the sky, the earth, water, air. In all things, that we wouldn't compartmentalize you or treat you like a decoration, but that we would wake up in the power of thank you. you that you inform my body with your dream. Thank you that I get to be a part of your dream and that you are not just some kind of powerful God that can do whatever you want and control whatever you want, but that you are giving, that you are humble, that you are loving, that you are good, forgiving, and joyful, and that your love is really your joy in action. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May our hearts and minds seek, see, and participate with your presence in all and through all, in all circumstances, in all people, in all thoughts, in all interactions, in all feelings, in all material and immaterial things, that we would not compartmentalize you or ourselves, but experience your presence, the power of your presence, the power of your peace, the power of your love, and the power of your joy, in all and through all. In Christ's holy name, amen. Thank you.